I love that line from the one criminal. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today we are celebrating on this last Sunday before Advent, before we start our preparation for Christmas, the feast of Christ the King, the feast of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. And that almost sounds like a science fiction title. But it's important to understand that because he is the King of all of creation. He is the King of the heavens, the King of the earth. He is the King of everything. And we are celebrating that today, that we as baptized Christians are in that kingdom. Now we are here on earth. We have not entered into the fullness of the kingdom of God because we are still sinners here on earth. But we are still a part of that kingdom. The kingdom of God is among us. But as a king, he is so very different than any king that we are familiar with. You know, if you watched just a few months ago with the transition of power from Queen Elizabeth to King Charles, it still seems weird to say that. If you followed any of the royal stuff going on, it seems weird to think of him as King Charles instead of Prince Charles. But our Lord is not a king like King Charles is. He is the highest of the kings. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet he humbled himself to become one of us. And he made the cross his throne for our salvation. That is the interesting part about the mocking of the Roman soldiers. If you're the king of the Jews, come down from there. But he was already on his throne. He didn't need to come down from there. He was where he knew he needed to be. And to see how far our Lord has humiliated himself by becoming one of us and then dying on the cross, we can look to St. Paul's letter. He has these words of praise to our Lord. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He humbled himself to be mocked by those soldiers, to be mocked by the Jewish leaders. And yet it was through him that everything was created. He was placed as king over all because everything was created through him and for him. These rulers, these soldiers, are mocking the person, the very person who is responsible for their even existing at all. Because it was through our Lord that they were created. And the authority that they exercised over him. You know, it says elsewhere that he permitted them to have authority over him. He told Pontius Pilate that you would not have authority over me if I did not grant it. And yet he allowed it. The very fact they could mock him with any authority is because of our Lord. He is above any created thing because he's God, second person of the Trinity, the Son of God and the Word of God, humbled himself to become one of us and then more humbly accepted the crucifixion, this terrible, painful, humiliating, agonizing form of punishment. And by ascending to the cross, ascending to his throne on the cross, he opened salvation to all of us. His humiliation led to our salvation. This great sacrifice that our Lord did for us is not something that we should take lightly. When we look at the cross, when we look at a crucifix and see the image of our Lord upon it, that's not something we should just pass by. That's something we should recognize. That's something we should always remember. Now, we might call our Lord, Lord. We might call Jesus Lord. But do we really think about what that means when we call him Lord? A title for a king, a title for a ruler. Not the title for just some other guy on the street, but the title of someone who has authority, who has power. I don't think we recognize that. And I think sometimes we're more concerned about earthly politicians in politics than we are about our Lord as ruler. I would venture there are a lot of Christians who are more concerned about the beginning of this month with the elections than they are with today here at the end of the month with our Lord as Christ the King. Now, that's not to say that the elections weren't important. The fact that we live in a republic is important, and it's important for us to participate in that. But to recognize that the rulers that we elect are still not to the level of our Lord. They are still given their authority by Him. We might place more power in our allegiance to our country than we do to our allegiance to our Lord. And it should be the other way around. We should put our allegiance to our Lord first, then our allegiance to our country. What happens when we get these reversed is that we allow earthly values to rule our lives first and foremost. Then we do heavenly values. We allow the things of the world to be more important to us than the things of heaven. This is what happens when we get our allegiance reversed. And that allegiance to our Lord is not something we should take lightly. To recognize our Lord as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that we have entered into that kingdom through our baptism, is not something we should take lightly. It's something we should take as serious, if not more serious, than our allegiance to our country. By our baptisms, we entered into the service of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's phrases you don't hear much anymore. They used to talk about the church on earth, the church in purgatory, and the church in heaven. The church in heaven was the church triumphant. They've made it. They're triumphing in heaven with our Lord. The church in purgatory was the church suffering. They were suffering for their sins, to be cleansed from their sins so that they can make it to the church triumphant. And we here on earth, the church here on earth, the church militant, military, fight, that we are here on earth fighting to make it to the church triumphant, fighting against the forces of evil, fighting against those who would silence the gospel, fighting against the powers of evil. That's the allegiance we need to give to our Lord. And there are many of us here, myself included, that we understand service in the military because we've done it. We have served in the United States military of one branch or another. We have made those promises to our country, those oaths to our country, that we would defend her. Well, by our baptisms, very similar promises were made for many of us by our parents on our behalf to defend the gospel, to defend the church against the powers of evil. That's one thing we don't take seriously enough. We are to constantly fight against evil. And if we see things in the world that are leading us towards evil, we need to fight against that. We need to oppose it. Admittedly, I'm rather disappointed in our state right now on this matter when it comes to the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. It failed. It shouldn't have. It should have passed overwhelmingly. There should have been no question if we were fighting against evil. But we're not. Are we willing to take our allegiance to Christ seriously enough that we are willing to fight against the powers of evil? We are willing to take up arms, spiritually, of course, in the battle against evil as members of the church militant. That's what it looks like. Just as many of us were willing to take up those physical arms in the service of our earthly rulers, we need to take up the spiritual arms in the service of our heavenly ruler. And so today, as we remember that Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ the King, it should be a reminder that He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the highest authority in our lives. He is the heavenly King who fulfilled the earthly kingship of King David. King David was the King of Israel. He was the King of the promised people, the holy people. Our Lord has taken that throne and is now the King of all creation. And we, as baptized Christians, are part of that kingdom. We are part of the new Israel through our baptisms. As the Israelite people accept their king, may we accept our king, our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and daily give allegiance to him as king.